Yep, we're at ACC kickoff, and we're going to kick things off today with the defending ACC champion, Florida State Seminole.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Up here in Uptown Charlotte, good people. We are theoretically speaking on the road and for very good reason. We are here at ACC kickoff. It is now grown to a four-day event. This thing, when I started covering it 2 years ago, was just 2 days. And the ACC had about 14 teams. Now they're up to 17. We're entering a 12-team college football playoff. Everything is bananas. And also, above all, we have College Football 25 that is out for EA Sports. I can thank the football gods for that one. C-Cat's out today. It's his birthday over the weekend, so make sure you wish him a happy birthday. If you're with us on YouTube, we're still streaming live because we're that dedicated. I've got my phone on the tripod here in the floor level of the hotel, and you can see our nice setup with the Capital One Orange Bowl because they have been treating us well as we've been making the rounds, getting our interviews and previewing the college football season for the ACC. This kind of teed me off to something today because I know that everybody is optimistic around this time of year. Everybody feels like their program can be better than the next. So for our Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the week, we tweeted it out at ESPN West Palm on Twitter. You can make your vote be known. Here it is. Which college football team will be the best in the state of Florida come the end of this season? The three options we gave you, the Miami Hurricanes from the ACC, of course, the defending ACC champs, Florida State, and, of course, those Florida Gators out of the SEC. You can also hit other and drop below which squad you do believe is going to be the one at the top at the end of it all. And as you know, the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the week, we always give you the results of those later on, and I'll tell you more about how you can vote come Election Day to make your voice be heard. You can also tap into the show today after we actually have our guest from FSU, and you can hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline with who you think will be the best college football team come the end of the season out of the state of Florida. It was the Seminoles last year, and very soon we're going to have Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle for Florida State, going into his redshirt junior year, going to join us here live on Theoretically Speaking. But hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. So we still have Farmer scheduled to appear this morning. We tapped in with SMU. We talked to Rhett Lashley, former offensive coordinator from Miami. Have a great story to tell about that one. And if we keep being held up, I might dive right into it because it was very interesting out of Rhett, who, again, is now going into his third year at SMU, coming off of the back of a year where SMU won the American. They went 11-2. They were one of the definitive best programs in college football, and they come into the ACC looking to add a little bit more juice to the conference that's now up to 17 teams, with Stanford, Cal, and SMU being the newest attendees. And as I introduced the man, all 300 plus pounds of him, looking good with a chain on his necklace right here that states Farmer. And does the chain spin as well? I was about to say, man, the chain don't spin. He's got the pearly white sweet teeth. He's one of the best looking dudes out here. Joshua Farmer pulling up on us, defensive tackle from Florida State. Y'all have been making the rounds today. Of course, you are the defending champions in the ACC. But do you feel like to this point y'all have gotten that level of respect or that level of headlines? I feel like it's all been about how last year ended.
I mean, yeah, we got the respect, but we didn't get to where we wanted to go, so none of it matters. Nobody's going to remember us for real because we didn't win it. So, everything happens for a reason.
I got you on that. Today we're asking our poll of the week here out here in Palm Beach County is we're asking everybody, who's going to be the best college football team out of the state of Florida come this year's end? You started smiling already. You must think it must be Miami or
Florida State. Man. Florida State.
What is it?
We the best, and we've been the best over the past 3 or 4 years, and I don't think things are going to change this year.
What is it about this unit, and specifically I want to say the guys that Mike Norvell selected to come to ACC kickoff right now, y'all have so much pride in being guys that he recruited out of high school, the high school guys that are coming in, and also you all experienced what was last year, which kind of had a little bit of a cloud.
I mean, as you can see, he brought three guys from the trenches, three guys he recruited out of high school, and that just says a lot about our team. We led by the trenches, and I'm just happy to help lead this team, man. I think last year was the standard, and we're not going backwards, so we're going to try to do it again.
Can you describe to me what you have here, this chain today? Is this all new jewelry, or is it
I had it for a little over a year, man. If you want to say that's new.
That is fresh. It's new to me. Yeah. I've been rocking the same gold chain for 3-4 years, dog.
But, yeah, that's my parents' name, man. My parents passed when I was young, so I decided to get their name on there, and my mom, my dad, and I got the picture on the back. So it means a lot to me. You know, I'll never get rid of it.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. That's a great piece of jewelry on the neck here of Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle for Florida State. What are you working on most? I know last year you won most improved on the defensive side for Florida State. What have you been working on this offseason to make sure you just, you know, elevate even more so off of that?
Just being in the best shape of my life, man, running to the ball every play. I believe if I would have done that this year, I probably wouldn't be sitting at this table right now. So just trying to change them.
What do you mean by that?
You know, just trying to run to the ball and be in the best in shape. And, I think that'll take my game to a whole new level and earn myself a top draft pick.
You've seen guys do it from the trenches of Florida State before. What have they told you about what you're going to need to prove over this next season or so?
That's basically what the guys told me. I was just missing being in the best shape of my life. And I think I'm in the best shape of my life. And, just going out there and playing hard as I can every down, every play, you know.
Joshua Farmer here, defensive tackle, Florida State, taking his game to the next level here in 2024, which we can't wait to see. I also can't wait to see this 12-team college football playoff format. I mean, what do you kind of know about it that makes you excited for how you can end your last campaign here?
I mean, if you lose a game or two, you still possibly can be in there. But, you know, the goal is to lose none. But I don't really care. I think we're going to win every game. Well, I know we're going to win every game. It don't change the standard for us because we're going to try to win every game and just be our best every play. So nothing's really changed for us, man. But the teams that ain't supposed to be in there, they might end up in there now. So it's going to be crazy.
And y'all going to take care of them?
Yeah, we're going to kill them.
you obviously have had a little bit of time between camp and now. Have you got your hands on College Football 25?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Who's the first team you played with?
Florida State.
Just had to check.
I think I played for them.
or who was the first team you lined up against then? Did you set up a play now? Or did you
Oregon. Oregon. I put us against Oregon, a team from the West Coast, because I knew they had some receivers and everything.
Did you traverse the road to glory mode? And if you did, what position did you go with?
I went with an end, man. I'm a D tackle, but you know, on NCAA, the D tackles ain't gonna make all the plays.
Yeah.
So I went with an end. I think I'm gonna delete him and make a quarterback.
What style? I mean, you gonna dual threat?
Dual threat. Dual threat.
That's what I'm
Jordan
saying.
Jordan Travis, 2.0.
Only way to do it.
I might even put him at 13.
There you go. Only way to do it, man. And you spoke of Jordan Travis. We obviously covered him in high school in Palm Beach County at Benjamin. The dude is just such a special presence and also a great football player. What was he like as a leader? And also, I like to judge legacy by what you leave behind. What do you think he left y'all with for these next few years to come and what he built up?
He left us, man. He's a great leader, man. He led by example. I don't think there's nobody in my locker room that'll say anything bad. He just showed us, like, he didn't just hang out with scholarship guys. Some of his best friends was walk-ons and regular students. So that showed a lot about him, that it wasn't just about football. He cared as a person. And, he's just a great leader. He wasn't really vocal unless he had to get on your butt. But everything else, he led by example.
Love that. Joshua Farmer here, defensive tackle, plugging up the gaps for Florida State here. One last one on the way out. I know what the overall goal is for the Noles, but you've already talked about wanting to put more film out there and get to the ball more. Are there any individual marks that you know you're going to set, know you're going to reach this year out there on the field?
At least 8 sacks, at least. You can mark my words. When I get it, y'all can drop this again.
Yeah.
And attack me, and I repost it. But I know I'm going to get 8 sacks, and I know I'm trying to win ACC Player of the Year, you know, and lead my team to a national championship.
I love
That's
all of that. That'll be the 3 then. So we're gonna get that graphic together. We'll tag you in it. And when you fulfill it, I can't wait to be there on the other end saying, he told me.
Yeah, I told you.
He told me in Charlotte.
All American.
Yeah, yeah.
All that. I'm gonna get all that.
And so what has it taken? I mean, you said you did a lot of sacrifice. You've gotten yourself in the best shape of your life. You know, what has been the hardest thing to try to sacrifice to make sure you're getting to that level?
Food. That's my diet been the biggest thing. I'm a country boy, so I like to eat. So just
favorite dish. What's your favorite dish on the way out?
My favorite dish is, I'm a seafood guy, so I like a lot of shrimp and fish. Fish my favorite food in the world. But I like soul food too, like collard greens, pork chop, mac and cheese.
Come on, man.
I have to pull away from that mac and cheese and the greens and the pork chop.
Come on, you talk about it, you getting me hungry. I'm about to have some now. Man, I really appreciate your time. Joshua Farmer, DT, Florida State. We're going to keep you to those goals, and we'll be watching you in the Noles this fall.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you. And if you can turn that. That's my guy, Joshua Farmer, going to exit stage left here and keep it pushing with the defending ACC champs. And he said it here, don't let him influence your vote just because he had the nice big chain on and the big great smile. He says Florida State's going to be the one at the end of the road. You still have time to vote on our Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the week between Miami, Florida, Florida State, or other. Who's going to be the best college football team come the end of the year? I also spoke with his teammate, Joshua Farmer's teammate, Patrick Payton, and I want to get right into that interview here. So without further ado, how about we lead into it this way? All right, just a little radio magic. So Patrick Payton, defensive end on the edge for Florida State going into his redshirt junior year. He's got all the energy, right? They're coming off of a season where from day one, they're going to be one of the most talked about teams in the ACC. Well, Patrick Payton, how are you dealing with that spotlight that's on the nose coming into 2024?
Yes. I really said the biggest thing was just knowing that Coach Norvell is a man of his word. Because I remember when I was getting recruited by them out of high school, they was like 3-7 and this and that. Everybody saying so much trash about Florida State. But the main thing he was telling us, if you just believe in the process, believe in me, say yes to me, I would never say no to you. Like, I would not say no to you, but like, he going to make sure you become a man on and off the field. That was his biggest thing. He said the football part is going to come with it. The winning is going to come with it. He said just becoming a man and doing things the right way every day was going to do it. And look where we at now.
Right. And you you now are, what, going into your fourth year it'll be at Florida State. Mm-hmm. How much closer to that, what Norvell talked about, helping you become a man and a better football player, do you feel like you've gotten?
Definitely, because as I got older now, I'm 21 now, and I'm about to step into the real world next year. Well, really just not being unprepared, like what's going to happen to you in the real world. Because one thing he always tell us, life is going to throw all type of crazy things at you. Then you just have to learn how to respond. And you don't be surprised when something bad happens or something that you ain't want to happen happens. Really is going to be the biggest thing for us as we take our next step into the real world.
We're asking today on ESPN 106.3, which Florida college football team is going to end the year as the best? Last year, it was the Seminoles. Mm-hmm. This year, there's a lot of Miami fans that have some pride and think they can make a bounce back. Yeah. Of course, they got to get through the defending champs. Mm-hmm. They got UCF fans that feel like they can make some waves in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Gators are always barking.
Yeah,
I mean, who's it going to be? Who's going to be the best team in the state of Florida at the end of this year?
I feel like we proved it in the pudding, man. We two back-to-back year state champ. Like, we didn't lose to both of them in the last 2 years. And we respect the rivalry more than we talk trash about each other. Like, it's a great rivalry. Like, great guys that have played in these games, legends in the NFL that have played in these games. But just knowing that they know we coming. And that's all I like to say, we coming.
Of course, Patrick Payton, edge for the Florida State Seminoles, entering your redshirt junior year. You're a Miami Northwestern grad, though. I mean, how much hate do you get for the poundings y'all have been putting on the Canes the past couple of years when you get back home?
I was just telling him that it'd be so funny playing against them every year because they never, like, I'll never be the person who they talk trash to, like, because they know me. Like, they done grew up with me. They done played against me at Optimus and Little League and middle school, high school, they done played against me. And the only thing they always say to me every year, not Florida, but Miami, is, Pat, you supposed to be a Hurricane.
Right, yeah.
Every time they see me, like, even on the field, we probably just got through it with a play there. But, like, Pat, man, why you over there with them? You know you supposed to be over here with us. And, yeah, I respect those guys, but, you know, we going to give it to them every time.
Do they even have a – I mean, again, I know that you don't like to talk to smack. Mm-hmm. You want your play to do it on the field.
Yeah.
Do they even have a chance to kind of recover from what's been happening these past 2 years while you're still in a Seminole uniform?
I feel like nah. I feel like I'm not losing to them. I lost to Florida one time my freshman year. I wasn't even playing, but I still take that as a loss. I feel like my rivalry with them – I know it might sound a little biased, it's more with Florida than Miami. I feel like Florida is a bigger rivalry because how they talk, especially when you go to their stadium, they talk crazy, and I feel like that's what it is.
I can only attest to that because the Florida Gator fans talk a lot of smack on Twitter. You can't shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Payton here, defensive end, Florida State. You were able to, you know, play not behind, but you were able to learn from Jarrett Verse,
mm-hmm.
who now is doing it, you know, at the next level, a guy that did it at an elite level for Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy behind you there in Amari Williams, who's from Palm Beach County, a Benjamin alum,
mm-hmm.
who, classified a year early. I know Coach Norvell just told me he's going to be on the offensive side this year.
Yeah.
But what do you think about his potential as the defensive end, and what do you think he'll need to work on to be able to, you know, fill in the gap where you leave?
Amari, he's physical specimen. He's very athletic. He's nice size. He's still got room, like, to grow bigger. He's still going to get bigger. Like, that's not – people think he's scary right now, but once he put on that weight, and by, like, his third year, he's going to be very scary, very athletic type of kid. I know he's going to be able to help them boys on both sides of the ball with watching them run routes and catch the ball how he do. And then I know he's going to be a great pass rusher when they need him to. He's going to be a special player here at Florida State.
Do you feel any – I mean, I know obviously you still have your own goals. You're trying to get out there and win, but how much of an onus do you feel, especially in that Knowles family, to pass that torch down to guys like him who are next up, who want to be able to carry the legacy on so they can pass it down?
Just knowing that I was blessed with the opportunity to be one of the guys who held the torch. Like, because look at the few guys that left Florida State, even – from Brian Burns era, like Brian Burns, then you got Jermaine, then you got Verse, like those just straight big name guys. And now I got a chance to be one of those guys, and I'm not going to let it fall out of my hands for nothing. And I want to let the next guy next to know that it's not hard. Just focus on yourself every day, get better every day, and you're going to be in the same position, and you're going to be able to do the same thing one day.
Well, you mentioned Brian Burns. I'm going to speak this on your life. You're going to get that same Brian Burns bag that he just got this offseason mm-hmm. with the Giants. That's what I'm looking forward to. Patrick Payton, appreciate your time. Looking forward to y'all this season.
Appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. That is Patrick Payton, defensive end, Florida State, here on the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill at ACC kickoff, talking season ahead of the college football year of 2024. That right there is pure, like, unadulterated confidence, and is pouring out of the Knowles that they've made their way all through the print media and the broadcast media. They even had to sit down with radio knuckleheads like myself. Before we go to break, because we do have to bring in Steve Pollitt Sr., Palm Beach County Sports Commission Hall of Famer, to pick his brain about what's going on with Lamar Jackson. Where's the love? I do want to redirect you again to our poll. again, you heard those two nose players. They might have persuaded you. At ESPN West Palm, our Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the week, it is which college football team will be the best in Florida at the end of the season. And the poll of the week, again, presented to you by the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections, who remind you to vote, who remind you to remember to register to vote. A lot of things changing on the landscape for people of both parties. Eligible voters can vote in one of three ways: by mail, at early voting, or on election day, which is August 20th. And for more details on how to vote and when you can vote, visit votepalmbeach.gov. Again, that's votepalmbeach.gov to view your status and learn more about how you can be a better citizen and making your vote count. Also do the same at ESPN West Palm on the college football team that's going to end the year as the champion in Florida. On the other side, Steve Policiner pulls up and he tells us what gives on all the Lamar Jackson hate. Plus, it's a Duffy's MVP Mondays. We're still giving out our candidates and our winners later on Theoretically Speaking from Charlotte on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Well, I'll keep it G. It's not as big as the Super Bowl, but it's pretty huge when you talk about the way we've been seeing headlines come out of Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC kickoff. It's just day one, baby. We're here for another couple days. ACC kickoff goes 4 days. It feels like every time I come to this event, it gets longer or the ACC gets bigger. But, you know, that's a good thing. That's a blessing. Growth, you always lean into. And one man that's seen a lot of growth just with his business, I mean, with raising his kids and the youth basketball and all the stuff he's involved in, is our guy, Uncle Steve, who's pulling up on a Monday for a special appearance.
He's our favorite uncle.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
A Palm Beach County Sports Commission Hall of Famer and president of Good Karma Brands. It's Steve Policiner.
Uncle Steve.
Presented by PNC Bank. Committed to making a difference in the South Florida community.
Uncle Steve.
Where you at these days, man? I'm up in Uptown Charlotte. Pull up.
Uncle Steve. You know what? I was supposed to be in Charlotte this morning.
Oh, you didn't hit me up. What happened? Was it a delay on the planes and everything? I got delayed like three or four times. I thought I was going to miss ACC kickoff.
Yeah, some change of plans. You know, always got to pivot. Always got to be ready. And I'm ending up not going to North Carolina. So I will not be there. Although it would have been great to see you and actually be in the same place at the same time. Because even when I go to when I'm in West Palm and I stop by the station, I don't see you there. Like, we're two ships passing in the night.
Well, that's the thing, Steve. I'm a busy man. It's hard to catch up with me. I mean, between Theoretically Speaking, ESPN West Palm Play, the emceeing and everything, man, I got to try to make more time for you. Steve, one guy that feels like he doesn't have to even blink, and he's all over the headlines these days, and it feels right that I'm bringing him up because he's the last guy to win a Heisman out of the ACC. That's Lamar Jackson, who did so in 2016 with the Louisville Cardinals. He's now a two-time NFL MVP, but it feels like at every turn, either on sports talk radio shows, you'll hear former GMs or current league, you know, front office members anonymously saying things about him. It feels like he's not getting the proper credit that he deserves. Where do you rank Lamar Jackson when it comes to the top quarterbacks in the NFL? Is he top three, number two? Where's he at for you?
Ooh, toughie. I think he could be two. I think it's like Mahomes and then, you know, who do you decide is right there next. The only thing that holds him back, obviously, is the playoff performances and just not, you know, not being able to put it over the top. I'm actually in Baltimore today, and it's beginning of training camp. Everyone's looking for some news, and I love the way Harbaugh came out emphatically saying, like,
yes,
you're not going to question Lamar all season. However, probably not by design. I think it also put front and center the kind of question that you're bringing up today. Like, if he doesn't say anything about Lamar to start out the season, no one is – that's not a headline. That's not an NFL headline today. But because he has addressed it, it has put it out there of, wait, so where are we at with Lamar? I think he wins a Super Bowl, and there's a good chance he wins a Super Bowl this year. But I think he needs it. And the reason he needs it is because there's always been that, oh, look, he ended up in Louisville. People didn't want him to play quarterback in college. Then he ends up in Baltimore. There were people who didn't think he could play quarterback in the NFL. And then there was, should the Ravens give him the big contract? Because maybe he's not good enough to put him over the top. So, like, he's always had to answer those questions forever. Do I think he's capable of winning a Super Bowl? Absolutely. Leading the Ravens to the Super Bowl? Absolutely. We know how many things have to align for a team to win a Super Bowl. And I think he has a great chance to do it this year.
Well, one of those things that have to align is getting past Patrick Mahomes, as long as he's in the AFC, as long as he's the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. But you mentioned the Harbaugh comment. I want to take a listen to it with you here, because it's not just that he was backing his quarterback. He made a definitive statement saying that not only can Lamar be the best quarterback today, but something even more grand. Take a listen.
The victory has already been won when you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision, all right?
Now, when I hear that, it's jarring, because we already have a guy in Patrick Mahomes who has 3 Super Bowls. He has the MVPs. He has the Super Bowl MVPs. And he looks well on his way to doing something that's never been done before, and that's getting a 3rd straight Super Bowl championship. And then you look at Lamar Jackson, who has all of the regular season accolades. In fact, if you look at his resume through these 6 seasons versus Tom Brady, identical record, and Lamar is beating him on a lot of the passing stats. He just doesn't have the end of season, the postseason accolades. So it's far-fetched, yes, but I do think this is Harbaugh just being a Harbaugh guy, defending his dude to the ends of the earth and trying to pour confidence into Lamar Jackson. But what does that really tell you? Because you're right. Just last year, this time, we were like, yo, do the Ravens even value this dude enough to pay him? Is another team going to swoop in and steal him? And now the same guy who was part of that decision-making operation is saying this is the single greatest quarterback to ever touch a football. Like, it's a little bit varying in what they're telling us versus what they actually do, right?
Yeah, and it just says to me that he needs to win a Super Bowl, because when he wins the Super Bowl, all the other stuff, then the stats, the incredible regular season performance, the prolific numbers he has, right? Not only the running numbers, but the winning numbers and the touchdown passes. Like, he just needs to win, and then he is clearly the second-best quarterback behind Mahomes. You know, right now, Joe Burrow, would be, like, in that argument. And then you have all, like, the young guns, you know, like the up-and-comers, and see what they have.
I love the omission of Josh Allen, by the way. That's coming straight from the Theo Dorsey playbook. Played very well there, Uncle Steve.
Oh, no, you're right on Allen. Allen's like Jackson. Allen's like Jackson, just not as accomplished. Ultimately,
yep.
his stats aren't as good. His rating isn't as good. He can't do as many things as Jackson can do. He's probably like the next guy right after that.
And here's the point I would make, too. Lamar Jackson, to me, is the most disrespected and underappreciated player in the NFL today when you juxtapose the actual value, the output he puts on the field versus the discourse that you hear around his name. But I do think that we're going to learn a lot, like the quarterback landscape in the league right now. We're going to find out so much over these next 17 games. So it almost feels worthless to have these conversations now, because, again, next year you'll see Jackson in year 2 of the Todd Monken offense, coming off of a season where he had most of his best efficient passing numbers of his career and whatnot. And we'll see what he continues to evolve into, as well as you'll see if Josh Allen can finally get over the Mahomes hump. We'll see if Jordan Love, our guy Mike Tannenbaum's favorite quarterback, rises out of the NFC and maybe contends for a Super Bowl. Like, there's so much to learn here. You're a Giants fan, though, Steve. Which quarterback do you think you're going to be eyeing the most next year that you think can take a huge leap, or you're just interested in seeing how things play out around them because of a change of scenery or potential for them to grow a lot?
For the Giants, the best thing about the Giants this year is Hard Knocks. The highlight of the Giants season is going on right now.
Yes.
It is going to be a long, long season. I think the main thing we're going to learn is what kind of head coach is Dable, in the sense of, can he keep them connected? Can he keep them from quitting on him? Can he keep them gelled? Their defense is obviously, you know, way ahead of their offense. And can they do anything to stay in games offensively? Because their skill positions are truly the worst, probably, you know, if not the worst, the worst three or four in the NFL when you go across skill positions. And that was before Darren Waller retired. I mean, they are a mess on offense.
Absolutely. And before I let you go here, two things. Of course, I do want to talk about where we both can't go right now, but would love to when we're back in Florida, and that's the place where we get two for ones. But I want you to answer this poll for me because I teased you off with it off the top. Which college football team? I'm here at ACC kickoff. We got Florida State and Miami in the house. Which college football team in the state of Florida do you think at the end of this season will end up wearing the crown as the best in the state of Florida? And don't forget about UCF, the recent national champions.
Right, that's true. It's just that I feel like we're not in the best spot we've been in Florida college football. Like, we were where we had Florida State, who of course we have now. But I was looking at some rankings yesterday. Miami of Ohio is ranked higher than the University of Miami in certain preseason polls, right? Oh, Florida is down. Florida is down. FAU is not where they have been. Like, it's not the healthiest story right now, you know, for Florida football. Thankfully, UCF, of course, Florida State. And, you know, I know I'm stretching across the NCAA into the NAIA, but Kaiser, you,
come
baby,
on.
You got a national champ.
That's right. The only team that's
right
a defending national champion in the state of Florida.
Right,
that's
in our backyard.
A big shout. Yeah, right in our backyard. Big shout to Miles Russ. We'll see how year one of his campaign starts. And, of course, with all the different teams we can watch, we have to wait till the fall to see them on the 80-plus TVs at Duffy's. But we still got time left in the dog days of summer to enjoy some Duffy Sports Grill. Ain't that right?
Don't we? The dog days of summer have never tasted so good at the Duffy Sports Grill. We're coming up on it now through the end of July. If you haven't gotten there for this, you better get there, because all the different variety of the Duffy's dogs, the All-American with the chopped onions, the sauerkraut, relish, mustard, and ketchup, the Cubano with the pulled pork shoulder, Swiss cheese, pickles, mustard. How about the Texan with the signature beef chili all up on, you know, on top of that? And then how about a Duffy's Vienna dog with jalapenos, horseradish mayo, Swiss and cheddar cheese, and the special death sauce. It's only at Duffy's. It's the dog days of summer. Now, through July 31, where Duffy's, our game is always on.
Gotta love it. Steve, get the scoop for us out there in Baltimore while you're out there, all right?
I'm on it.
That's Uncle Steve Policiner, pulling up on us on a special edition there on a Monday, because he knew I was kicking it at ACC kickoff. We almost actually aligned past this time, and he could have been sitting next to me here in Charlotte in the Uptown Hilton Hotel. On the other side, a very, very special interview we have to further explain what's happening with this college football playoff format. If you haven't gotten a chance to look at and simulate out what it's going to look like with 12 teams, I would say please do. But then I also would say stick around, because I have the foremost authority on that that's going to be able to deliver some great intel. And plus, Steve mentioned it, so I got to tell you about him. I mean, you cannot say champion, especially in the state of Florida, without mentioning the Kaiser University Seahawks, right there on the flagship campus of West Palm Beach. Kaiser Seahawks, now, they've won 22 national championships as programs, including back-to-back national titles in men's lacrosse and three straight in NAIA women's swimming and diving titles. And you already know, Steve mentioned it, the reigning NAIA football national champs. KU's also captured 60-plus regular season and conference titles, and they have that big, shiny, glorious Learfield Cup trophy. Get the latest on Kaiser Seahawks athletics at KUSeahawks.com. We march on here at ACC kickoff in Charlotte, and on the other side, a little bit of intel, some insight into the 12-team format for college football, what the playoff will look like, and maybe FAU, the Owls, dancing? Who knows, theoretically speaking, on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Theo Dorsey back with you, checking in from Uptown Charlotte. It's the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented to you by Duffy's Sports Grill. And as we've been kicking it, talking some football, I mean, the most exciting part about this college football season is the fact that we know it's not going to be four teams competing for a national championship. It's going to be 12 when it comes down to the playoff. And the man to introduce us to all of that, I'm honored, in his first year serving as executive director of the college football playoff, Sir Rich Clark.
Oh, thank you, Theo. It's good to be here.
I appreciate
you.
This
is awesome.
And again, I feel like I have to, you know, bestow you upon the sir, because I look at your resume. 38-year career in the Air Force, retired with the rank of Lieutenant General. I mean, you've done so much, and now here you are in the football world again.
I'm just old, but I'm full circle, because I used to play football at the Air Force Academy. So, you know, I went from student athlete, grad assistant coach, then in the Air Force, now back, and I love it. I love being able to think about football every day, and that's my job, and I'm excited.
Well, I'll tell you this. I know you're taking over for Bill Hancock, who just retired last year. You're bringing this excitement, and you're coming in at the perfect time, because now there's 12 teams. I want to jump right into that, because we just talked about it. You were on that 85 Air Force team.
Yes.
That won, I think, what, 11, 12 games? Was ranked
12 and 1.
Yeah, 12 and 1, ranked, what, 8th in the nation?
Yep.
Y'all would have been in the college football playoff.
We would have, and I'd have been talking about that right now. That would have been awesome. It's just 38 years too late.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Isn't that just what the excitement of this is? I know a lot of people don't understand just how impactful this can be. I was talking to some FAU fans last year who were, you know, Florida Atlantic, obviously not in one of the Power 5 conferences, but I was talking to them about how, like, look, now – you can actually enter a season and say, if we do what we're supposed to do and win our conference and play at the highest level, we could have a shot at it.
We got a shot.
That's the crazy part.
It's hope.
Yeah.
It's like you have something to play for, and that opportunity is there. There's a path to every team to make it to the playoff, and that's what I think the beauty of this is. It opens it up to every team in the FBS, so it's amazing.
So for anybody that doesn't really understand this thing, I mean, what's the main question that you usually get about what the 12-team playoff is going to look like this year? I know that there's buys, I know there's auto bids, and then there's the group of five at large. Like, what's the main question that you get that you enjoy answering to clear things up for people?
Well, so here's what I'll give you is, people go, so tell me how it works, right?
Yeah.
That's like the general question. So in a nutshell, 12 teams, right? And you've already highlighted that. The top five conference champions will get an automatic qualification. Mm. So of all now the nine FBS conferences, the top five will get automatic qualification. The top four of those fives will get a bye, 1 through 4. Mm. They're going to get a bye. That fifth conference champion, if they're not already ranked in the top 12, right, then they will, like, let's say they were ranked 16,
yeah,
but they were the fifth-ranked conference champion, they're going to get moved to the 12th spot. Mm. Then seven other teams, and they'll be all ranked by a selection committee. All 25 teams will be ranked by a selection committee. Top seven teams then will be put into the bracket. Mm. So, yeah, the five conference champions, you got the seven at-large teams. That's what's going to make up the bracket. So it'll be a pretty big spread of teams. So it's going to be awesome. Teams 5 through 8 will play at a home field, at their home field, and they'll play 9 through 12. And that's going to be an exciting campus game. It's going to be amazing. And then they'll play through the bracket from there. So you will have a conference champion that's decided on the field, not in the committee room. It's going to be decided on the field, and it's going to be awesome.
Now, obviously last year there's a lot of fans that might be excited about a team that's here today in Florida State that would have loved to see this happen last year. But I do want to say this, now that you're now in this chair, and again, you served as a U.S. Air Force Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategic Deterrence and Nuclear Integration at the Pentagon.
Right.
How is that going to help you fend off those Seminole fans if they get left out again?
Oh, man, I don't know if it will. I don't know if I've ever had to deal with anything that would fend me off.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. I'm used to controversy. I'm used to dealing with tough issues because that was a tough one, right? It was a tough one for a lot of people. But, you make decisions and then you gotta deal with it. And that's what we'll do. We're going to make some hard decisions even now. People think, 12 teams, it's going to be easy. Nobody's going to be upset. Oh, what do you think 13, 14, 15 are going to say? Or what do you think if you're that sixth conference champion that didn't get that bid, that automatic qualifying bid? Or you don't get the home field advantage in the playoff, for the teams 5 through 8 that I just talked about. So there's a lot of points where someone might have a little bit of consternation, right? But I think in the end, it's a fair process. Our selection committee that rank orders all those teams, they do a great job. But, it's really, by and large, going to be decided on the field.
Rich Clark, the executive director of the College Football Playoff, serving in his first year as that here at ACC Kickoff in Uptown Charlotte. I mean, what does this feel like now? It's starting to become real, right? Like the path to that 12-team playoff starts here during talking season. You hear all the coaches and their quotes about their hopes of making this 12-team playoff. Like, what sticks out the most to you about this time of year?
I love it because everyone's anticipating, and that's what's so exciting about it. It's exciting. We haven't even started the season.
Right.
And people are already talking about it. The season is going to be wildly exciting from the first game right into November, and that's what is the other exciting thing is, now, even games late in the season could really have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so fans are going to be engaged because I think, the week before the selections are made, the final selections are made, you could have 20 teams that have a shot. And that last game might make the difference. So it's exciting now. We haven't even started, but it's even going to get more exciting as we go, and it's going to ramp up all the way to the playoff.
I hear a lot of people on Twitter talking about how the College Football 25 game is helping them understand better what the 12-team playoff will look like when they simulate these seasons out and see where these teams land. Have you heard any stuff around that? Have you played the game yourself?
I haven't played it myself, but my kids are they haven't played it, but they're geared to going and getting that and start that. I think that is going to help build the excitement, though, because people can, get into it and live it, through the game, and it'll just help build that excitement throughout the season. So everything that we can do to help people understand it better is going to be good, because then they have less questions at the end if their team doesn't make it or whatever it is. They have an understanding of how it went.
Gotcha. Well, I'll let you get back to your more important duties than sitting down here and talking to
nothing more important than talking to you, Theo. This is good.
I really appreciate you again, Rich Clark, executive director of the College Football Playoff. Looking forward to the games.
Rich
Clark,
thank you, Theo.
Joining us, a great addition right there. And here in Charlotte, the second button has come off. You know what that means? It's about to be party time. And speaking of party, Loan Depot Park. Have you been to a Marlins game this season? And if you haven't, you might want to get out there now. Now, first pitch tonight is at 6:40. The Marlins have won 2 out of 3 against the Mets, looking to seal that series off. But there's a couple more upcoming home series you can get to. How about tomorrow when the Marlins, the Fish, get started against the Baltimore Orioles? Maybe when they get back, they can say what's up to our guy, Uncle Steve. Or the Reds, August 5th through August 8th, and the Padres come to town right after that, August 9th through the 11th. Join the party at Loan Depot Park. Get loud, show off your colors and culture, even bring your flags and instrument, and join in on the flavor of the day, which is those Marlins at Loan Depot Park. To get your tickets, go to marlins.com/tickets and watch the Marlins take down the Mets tonight. On the other side, we have to give out our Duffy's MVP of the weekend, a couple of basketball candidates, plus the results to the poll of the week, which was, again, which college football team is going to be the best in the state of Florida come the end of this season. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking, going to ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
From ACC kickoff here at Uptown Charlotte, Radio Row starting to clear out as we wrap things up here. I want to give you the results for our on-air poll presented by Vote Palm Beach. Which college football team will be the best in the state of Florida by the end of year? At 5.9%, we got the Florida Gators. That is last place. We got other at 11.8%. I'm going to guess that's either FAU or UCF. Or how about those Kaiser Seahawks at 23.5%, coming in at second place, the Miami Hurricanes. And with an overwhelming 58%, Florida State, the defending ACC champs, voted to be the best team in college football by the end of this year. So now it's time to give out our Duffy's MVP of the weekend. And, of course, we have to start with our candidates, both coming from basketball, both coming from Team USA action, but not from Team USA, their opposition. How about candidate number one, Carlick Jones with Team Sudan? I mean, did you see that exhibition where Team USA almost fell to Sudan after all that talk, after all that overlooking of the other squads? 15 points, 11 boards, 11 assists. Messed around and dropped a triple-double on the Americans. He was one shot away from actually pulling off the upset, but he doesn't get the MVP of the weekend. The Duffy's MVP of the weekend. Can I hear the sound, by the way, the roaring MVPs? That's going to go to Arike Ogunbowale from the Dallas Wings. And with Team WNBA, she had 0 points at the All-Star game in Phoenix. 0 points against Team USA. She came out of the break, dropped 34 in the second half alone, setting a WNBA All-Star Game record. And Team WNBA, for the second time in this slate of ambitions against Team USA, defeats the WNBA All-Star, excuse me, Team USA, WNBA team with Arike Ogunbowale, defeats Team USA 107-109. So a big shout to her again, wrecking shop against the Americans and proving why she should likely be on that team, as well as she's one of the greater players in the league. Well, that's going to do it for us here. How about we take you home from Charlotte at ACC kickoff? Want to take me home, And I take you home with this. Just travel safely and be nice to each other out there on the road or in the airports. Things are a little hectic here in America, and it's better to be in a society where we all are cooperative versus one where we're all fighting against each other. Let's just get home safely. That'll do it for this edition of Theoretically Speaking. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy. Freddie and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.